As we always gather and worship God, it's an opportunity for us to come into the presence of God and to receive from God everything we need, but especially to have God's presence permeate us, move inside of us, and instill in us who God is. We all know that God is love, right? God is love. And so we as a people must become more loving people. Because the more we love, the more we show God to this world. And we know that the world is so much right now in need of love. And the kind of love that God gives. Unconditional love. Doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, where you've been. Doesn't matter the color of your skin, your gender, your sexuality, your anything. You're a human being, correct? And every human being on this planet, God loves. And unfortunately, human beings sometimes don't love the way God loves. And consequently, we see some of the things we're seeing in our world today and even in our own country. But you know what? People that love will always win. People that love others and show what God's love is like will also show other people how to love and how to be loved. And we can overcome the darkness with the light, which the light comes through love. And so that's what we want to be about. And it wasn't unusual for the early disciples to have to teach the same message. I guess we human beings were a little thick-headed when it comes to understanding who God really is, right? We are. Even as much as Jesus did on this earth, how he loved, how he fed, how he cared for everybody, whether it was a leper, whether it was an adulterer, whether it was a tax collector, whether it was a person that no one else loved, Jesus loved them all, right? And he gave his life for all people so that we could have eternal life. Every person Jesus died for, right? What more could he show people about God's love? Don't know. But some of us still don't always believe God loves us because other people sometimes make us think otherwise. But the more you know God and the more you know who Jesus really is, what his character is, the more you have insight into his very being of loving everyone and having compassion for everyone, you begin to understand what you have to do then as a Christian. Because a Christian is a little Christ. We're chips off the old block, right? That's who we're meant and created to be. And the more that we do to love, and it could only be loving one person. I don't know that we can love everybody that needs love. I don't know that that's possible, but the people that are in front of us, the people that God puts in front of us, the people that we can touch with God's love, we can make a difference in our small frame of this world, can't we? Can't we? Yes, and we must. We must. And so in the book of Ephesians, Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, the early church, and he begins to tell them what it's like to become a Christian. And he says in Ephesians chapter 4, he says, you have your old former way of life. The old way of doing things has been put away. Your old way of doing things. The human way of doing things, once you became a Christian, once you allowed God in and the Holy Spirit in, your spiritual self takes over, right? So we have that battle sometimes, the human side of us versus the spiritual side of us. But we all have to constantly move towards that building up of becoming more like Christ, right? That's why we are the church of spiritual enrichment and growth. Growth into being more and more of God's likeness, in Christ's likeness. And that's what Paul talks about to the church in Ephesus. He says, your former way of life is gone. There's an instead. We're in the new year, right? There's an instead this year. What you were doing last year that you found interesting and what you were doing with your time and energy, instead of some of that that's human, we're going to do more divine spiritual things, aren't we? Right? Aren't we? We're going to be about those things, the things that really matter eternally and last forever, not what's temporary, but what lasts as a legacy forever. Loving another person, bringing someone to relationship with Jesus Christ is what our eternal mission is about, is it not? Right. And showing people love and compassion, they can see God in us, even without you saying, I'm a Christian. Loving someone shows and proves that you already are. It's by our actions, right? So it says, instead, there must be a spiritual renewal of your thoughts and your attitudes. There's a spiritual renewal of those things. So our attitudes towards one another has to be what? Spiritual in nature. Like Christ. You must display a new nature because you're a new person, created in God's likeness. What's God like? Love. So who are you like? God. Therefore, we are love. How simple. You got it? Should I end? Not quite yet. No, not so fast. I'm going to love you even more by teaching you more. Righteous, holy, and true. Just like God. Just like Jesus Christ, right? Right in God's eyes. And then in 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter talks to a different group of people, but he talks about the same thing. So we have Paul talking to the church saying, you have a new nature. It's one of spirituality, one of love, right? So instead of being human, you're now divine. Instead of being judgmental and critical and sometimes prejudiced, biased in any way towards anybody else, you're now accepting of everyone, right? And loving everyone, right? That's God's nature. Yes. And so Peter talks to the church, and he says in chapter 2, 2 Peter, first chapter, he says, as we know Christ better, his divine power gives us everything we need for living a godly life. Remember we've been talking about the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit lives in us? That's what Peter's talking about. He's saying Christ's divine power lives in you. So it's not by your own power that you can love, because we're humans, right? And we often love with conditions, don't we? I'll love you if you. I'll love them if they, right? Especially if they're like me, I'm going to like them. Too human, right? But that's not how God is, right? So we're learning spiritual lessons today, are we not? Because we're a spiritual church. You're spiritual beings, right? You think you're human, and you are. Well, some days I am. But you're human. But within you is this divine power. The same power that was inside of Jesus is in us. Isn't that awesome? And what is this divine power used for? Helping us in the human side of us to love more. You see? So Christ gave us that through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we need this power, this divine power, for living a godly life, being like God. So the more Christ lives in us, the more we listen to that divine guidance, prompting us to do good, to forgive, to serve, to feed, to house, to whatever it might be that we're here to do and be, right, as Christians, to love everybody as God loves, right? That divine power in us helps us build on our faith in God and build the church, meaning the worldwide church, God's kingdom, God's place. Wouldn't it be a great world if God reigned? Are we not sometimes in a mess in this world with human beings doing the things they're doing, right? What if God reigned? Well, how can God reign? Through us. Through us. See, it's us. We have the power. See, we might think other people have power, but who has the power? We have the power in us. We do. We just have to do it. It's kind of like, you know, there's electricity in this building, in case you haven't noticed. You can't really see it, right? But how do you know it's on? Well, the lights are on, right? You can. There's power going to those lights. And when you turn on the light switch, what happens? The light comes on. Because why? The power's there. Can you see the power? No. Can you feel the power? I dare you to put your finger in the light socket, right? Don't let the children near them. We have them blocked off, right? But there's power there, isn't there? Right? It may be dormant, because why? Sometimes we don't flip the switch. See, you Christians and we Christians, we're going to start flipping our switch a lot more. Don't we? Right? We've got to go on about doing more for God, don't we? Right? We've got power in us. It's the power of love. Love will always conquer hate. Love will always conquer fear. Love will conquer everything, even death. Love conquers all. And love endures forever, right? So we got this power of love in us. When are you going to turn your switch on? And do we only turn it on when we're around people that we love? The ones that deserve our love? They look right. They sound right. We know that we have to love who? Everybody. 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 Even those who are lost. Even those who are in darkness. We have to pray for those who persecute us. Pray that God will change their hearts and minds. But in the meantime, just doing nothing about it doesn't send out God's love, does it? Right? There's something about wind that blows things around, doesn't it? And that same wind that has the power to knock down trees can also knock down barriers that are in front of us, right? So, back to Peter. Oh, yes. God has called us to receive his own glory and goodness. And by that same mighty power, God has given us all of his rich and wonderful promises. He has promised that you will escape the decadence all around you caused by evil desires and those that do not share in his divine nature. And you will share in his divine nature instead, right? We're doing another instead. So verse 5. So make every effort to apply the benefits of these promises to your life. So this is your personal life, the life of the church, and the life of the world. Then your faith will produce a life of moral excellence. A life of moral excellence leads to knowing God better. Knowing God leads to self-control. Anybody need more self-control? Ooh, oh boy, I got a big sigh out of the room there. What leads to that? Verse 6, knowing God. The more you know God, and when it says know God, it means to understand God and to really know God intimately. Because we can know God, right? We can know about God. Like I can know about biology. I might not understand it, but I know it exists. And the same thing is true with God. Knowing God intimately as a personal friend, as understanding God's character of being love, that's how we have more self-control, because we let God control what we say and do. Self-control leads to patient endurance, and patient endurance leads to godliness. Godliness leads to love for other Christians, and finally, you will grow to have genuine love for everyone. Do you notice there's a process here? I call them building blocks. We start out where we, you know, baby Christians, we believe in God and who God is, and we believe God loves us, and then we kind of get all joyful about that. And then we study the Bible, we come to church, we go to Bible study, or we read the Word, or we sing songs, and we start to understand who God really is. I mean, if I stood up here and tell you everything that Jesus did, you'll see through that and understand he was love on earth. He was a healer. He was a person that made a way for people where there was no way. He was an acceptor of those who were outcasts. He was someone who fed everyone and anyone. And he loved everyone, right? That's his character. So the more you understand that, now you have a template to follow, don't you? What could be more simple? How easy is this morning? A simple way to live. And it says, the more you grow like this, the more you will become productive and useful in your knowledge of our Lord. See, there's something about knowing God and knowing scriptures, and that's, you know, there's people that can repeat, I'm sure. They have the Bible memorized. They can quote chapter and verse. But when you watch how they live and how they love or lack of love, you kind of go, wait a minute. These two don't, they don't match. This person's nothing like Jesus. We know those kind of people, don't we? We're not those kind of people, are we? Okay, very good. You might get out of here yet. Okay. See, there are building blocks in our spiritual growth, right? We see patient endurance. That's a tough one, isn't it? Anybody on that building block by chance? Oh, boy. That's a tough building block, right? Because when you think about a building block, which way is it going? Up, right? Building up, right? We're here to build one another up, the Bible even says, right? So you're moving upward. Anybody ever climb a mountain ever? And, you know, I don't know about you, but, you know, the stairs is, particularly in Georgia, Becky and I like to go to Georgia from time to time and see the waterfalls. And the waterfalls are like way, way, way far away. And there's all these steps to climb. And we're like, oh, wow, I can't wait to get up there. And me, Miss Spontaneous, is like, wow, cool. We'll be there in no time. So you start, you're climbing, and your first few steps, you're like, bum, ba, bum, ba, bum, run up the bum, I can do this, boom, boom. Of course, this was many, many years ago. Today would be like, bum, ba, bum, ba, bum, can you pull me up? Oh, okay. But you know, when you get about halfway there, I don't know about, well, I have to be honest, it's like, do we really want to go up that high? Can we can see it from here. We're close enough. It looks pretty for me. This is a beautiful view. Let's take some pictures and walk back down. And isn't that sometimes our Christian walk? It starts off really, really good when you become a Christian. I want to tell you, the day I was saved and I realized Jesus loved me and I realized, wow, I could be who I am and God still loves me, I was like, wow, I'm on fire and I got to tell everybody about this. And boom, I started doing all that. And then as time has gone on, as I've gotten older, some of the tests and some of the tribulations and some of the trials for people and for us has gotten a little uphill. There's been an uphill climb. I mean, to think, you know, I was one of those women that marched many years ago and still haven't marched today. How far have we come as a people? How far do we yet have to go? Well, I know we have an uphill climb. Always, because we're dealing with humanity. See, as long as we're on this earth, we're going to be fighting against an enemy, an adversary that's trying to push us down. Because see, as much as there are building blocks up, we have to keep what? Going. Keep going up. Keep moving forward, right? Because the cost to not doing that is too high. Too many people need to know about God and God's love. And evil must be overcome through good. And we must move on. We must keep going. We must keep doing good. Our good deeds will be the things that bring God glory and will also help change lives for the better, right? So we keep on keeping on, don't we? So as far as it may seem, we keep trudging up. And sometimes we need somebody to pull us up, right, and push us. And that's what it's all about. That's that building block up, because that's what this world needs. It needs people like us to keep moving forward with God's love. But there's also building blocks, blocks that get in the way of your growth. We know what some of those things are, right? The world will throw things at us. Health issues might come. People might leave us. People might try to persecute us. People might try to stop us. Laws might be passed that says you can't feed homeless people. Oh, by the way, they have. Oh. But you see how God operates, though? There happens to be a little building called Beacon House. Gee, it just happens to be a place we could still serve. We're working in tandem with a group called Taking It to the Streets. We're still taking it to the streets. See, for every block that comes our way, what? God has a way out. God will always prevail. We have to remember that, folks. Even in the darkest days that we are seeing now, that are just the beginning of more darkness, because the Bible tells us the hearts of many will grow cold. The days of darkness will continue. But guess what? Does darkness win? Why not? We got a switch, a light switch. Ta-da, boom. I flick my love switch. Right? And we decide to serve anyway. We decide to love anyway. We help those who are hurting. Those who maybe are halfway up the mountain or even a third of the way, we go back and get them and say, come on with us. We're moving on up, and we're in this with you. There's strength in numbers always, always. So we have building blocks to our faith. We know it's one, first and foremost, it says to know Christ more, to know his character. The more you know what Jesus is like, that means you can what? Become more like Jesus. You know the old, remember those armbands years ago, WWJD? They were so popular. What would Jesus do? It's still a good question, isn't it? And we go a step beyond, because sometimes I'm like, okay, well, that's what Jesus would do. See, I always get a loophole. I'm not Jesus, so don't expect me to do it. That's what Jesus would do. But I'd like to say it this way. What would Jesus have you do? One of my favorite parts of the Bible is in the book of Mark, where this man came to Jesus and asked for help. And Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" That's a great question. That's a question that we as Christians in our spiritual growth must continue to ask. When someone comes to us with a need, we ask them the question, "What would you want God to do for you? What can we do for you?" Right? What can we do? And so I ask the same question of us as a congregation and as a people. In light of what's happening in our world, what can we do? There's a lot we can do. First and foremost, I think prayer changes everything. God has a plan. God's in control. God will do. When we go upon our knees and ask God for help, God will send help. And sometimes God sends help in the form of you and me and us. And if you're an answer to God's prayer, guess what? You're a blessed person. You're a chosen vessel that God can use in a great and mighty way. So we have building blocks of our faith. All of us are on different levels, aren't we? Some are asked for more. The more we're given, the more is asked of us. That's what the Bible tells us. Some of you are just starting off, and some of you are stuck in place. And you're in that perseverance mode, endurance, trying to just endure this life. Know this, you're not alone. You're never alone. We are here as a church family to help one or all of you, right? And when we see a person, a congregant or a friend of ours or someone you might know that doesn't even come to this church, and we hear a person in need, what are we to do? Help them. We turn on our love switch and we put light into their darkness. We bring them hope, we bring them love, we bring them peace. And we help them up that same growth pattern. We're here to become godly people. And what God is love. And so we're here to love and love and love and love. That's all we're here to do. Any blocks that come in our way that try to stop us from loving, and we have reactions, don't we? Because there's probably some people we would like not so much to love, or we wish like they weren't even around on the planet. So we have to admit to that. But we also have to pray that God changes our heart about that. We have to pray for that person's heart and soul and change and let God be God. I've always believed, and you see throughout Scripture, when evil tried to destroy good, God steps in and stepped in, and will step in for all of us. In the meantime, we pray, we love, we serve, we care, and we continue to be all God has created us to be. Because I know that our world is in such chaos right now, at least it feels that way to me. And we as a people, we need to join together to reassure each other that God is still on the throne. Jesus is still Lord. And love will win. And I want to pray for each and every one of you that you continue to understand who God is and who Christ is, love on earth. And that each of you will commit to being godly and loving. And I believe by that we can change our world. We can change our world.